The open sky is like about aliens coming into our open sky.
Yeah, and drink Pepsi.
Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way. My name is John.
And I'm Adam. Pleasure to see you all.
Well, he says see, but we can't actually see.
John, I have hidden cameras. You know these phones that everyone's carrying around?
Mm.
Yeah, I have access to all of them. Yep.
So it's you that have breached every privacy law.
Yeah, you know that? Yeah, of course. You know Batman, how he has that in Dark Knight Rises?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I just basically took that idea. Fantastic.
Amazing.
We're back. We're going to be recording awesomely now. It's going to be fantastic and fun. And we hope you join us as we continue to offer guides and suggestions on how to survive apocalypses, be they germ-infested nightmares that induce zombies roaming around feasting on the corpses of the fallen, or just simple apocalypses like, I don't know, just gamma radiation irradiating the Earth in a sudden burst of supernova from light years away.
It's just your run-of-your-mill, boring old apocalypse.
And of course, if you are wanting to get recommendations for awesome books and series and all sorts of fun stuff, then here's where you need to be. So join us as we continue on in Surviving the Apocalypse.
I was going to do the sound effect with my voice, but it we can actually transition.
Glorious.
So before we begin, Adam, I just wanted to say this episode was live streamed. So if you follow us on Twitch and Facebook, you'll be able to keep up to date with that. And you can actually send through messages that you want us to address.
Read on air, as it were. Have your name read out to our vast audience of listeners who listen to this after the podcast after the live stream, as it is.
And yeah, if you do want someone shouted out, just be careful. There's a 50-50 chance. I'll read it versus Adam. And if Adam reads it, then it's the whole thing. And it could end with their, like, I don't know.
Well, you know how fairies take people's names? That's my jam.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the fae lore. So today, John, I must say, you're looking relatively... You're looking a bit more dangerous than usual.
Well, that's because of my new haircut. Or lack thereof. It's actually getting really long. So I'm glad you noticed, Adam, because at an episode, like, I want to say a few months ago, we sort of went together to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu class.
Fun times.
Which was lots of fun. But we said that we were going to try out all different kinds of martial arts and we weren't just going to stick at that one. That episode, I want to say, was like 2, maybe 3 years ago.
It was a good session, yep.
And we hadn't done anything. But actually, there's a new TV show out on Netflix, which is called Cobra Kai. It's actually not that new. It used to be on YouTube, but it got bought up, blah, blah, blah. It's a remake of The Karate Kid, or in fact, a spiritual successor, continuation, if you will. And basically, I don't know what it is about this show, because it's not my normal, like, extremely dark, slow-paced sci-fi thriller / horror that I normally like watching. It was like this happy, clappy children's...
happy, clappy.
Teenagers high school drama thing. But I don't know, something about it just... They have really great writing and, yeah, I don't know, something about it. So I and my friend, I actually have another friend besides you, Adam.
I'm sorry, what?
No. I know, it's hard to believe.
This guy's getting an arrow in his chest.
But my wife, after seeing that I love the show, bought me a membership for a karate dojo. And I bought the same thing for my friend when it was his birthday. And so we went together because I was too scared to go alone. Because I knew that I would get absolutely thrown all over the floor by people like 1/10 the weight of me. I want to say, again, maybe not 1/10, 1/5 the weight of me, which, to be honest, does happen from time to time.
Just on your way to work, it happens.
Yeah, so I went with my friend, and I've actually started going, I want to say, for like 6 months now, maybe 7.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to karate, and I've been learning it, And it's been great. I actually have my first belt, which is for this dojo. The first one isn't yellow. It's actually half yellow, half green. And then it goes to yellow.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I have an Australian colored belt right now.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you may as well just say you've been to the Olympics and won gold.
I mean,
yep,
I
that's haven't. What we're going for. John is an Olympic medal winner now. I hope everyone is enjoying that.
I feel like you cannot mention the Olympics and karate in one sentence without mentioning the utter upset that was the gold medal. I feel like I can hear some.
That's all right.
Anyone else hearing strange voices, or is that just me?
Just a background.
It might not actually come through the podcast, in which case they will think we're crazy. But that's game. There was a bit of an upset in the Olympics where someone lunged forward and you gave up their guard and got kicked in the head. But because they got knocked out, the one that got knocked out won the gold.
Oh.
Which is just for safety reasons, you're not really supposed to knock people out in karate because it's quite a dangerous martial art.
Yeah, of course. Wow.
So it was a bit of an upset because although we strictly do agree that you shouldn't try and knock people out in the sport, it was clear that the person who got knocked out had released their guard and sort of, I feel like yeah. there's, did anyone hear that other sound as well?
I think there's some, talking about fairies, I mean, around here turning my devices please, onto noise mode, honestly.
Please, for listeners out there, please put your phones on silent. Oh, wait, it doesn't matter because you're listening to this later. Adam needs to put his on silent.
I do.
Yeah, so there was a bit of an upset there. To me, it seemed obvious that he was sort of releasing his guard and was opening himself up to that, but obviously, there were other safety concerns and rules and stuff that they had to comply to, but it did cause a bit of an upset.
I mean,
and
the medal going to literally the loser, I think, kind of...
it's my only chance of winning gold, let's be honest.
I agree with it. My chances changed in the past nanosecond. Definitely should have gotten gold. Good on them for winning gold at the Olympics.
So that day, actually, when that upset happened at the Olympics, the sensei got us all together and got us practicing against I'm not really sure the term, but basically a large sort of beanbag type thing that you're supposed to punch that stands up.
Okay.
And so the idea was you're sort of standing with your guard on your feet, getting ready to punch, and then you lunge forward, punch, go back, lunge forward again, punch again. So just to get aware of that movement back in and out of range of the other person's attack.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, I've noticed a few of you are diving forward, which is exactly what the person that got knocked out do. And he was like, that's the reason why you don't dive forward. You've got to lunge with your whole body and attack at the same time rather than sort of leaning forward. And
well, John, I mean, because you especially are a giant, you're like 6'5" or something.
It's hard to tell over audio, but I am quite tall. Now you're sort of noticing that my voice sounded much higher.
Yeah, he's got to have, yes, of course. The voice, see, it's got to travel a long way from your vocal cords and your lungs.
Yeah.
And everything, so yeah, they can tell. But you must have like a reach that, I mean, let's say you're battling someone who's like 5'11". You'd have the advantage in reach. Like they wouldn't get close to you because you'd just be like, ha, 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 ha. You'd just be like the bully holding the person's head back while they're like going, with their arms going around in a circle. I'm pretty sure that's how karate works, right?
That is not quite how it works, but that you did touch on a good point, which is I do have an advantage in the sport because I can do the same move and without having to lunge forward, I can reach them, but they have to lunge forward to reach me.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But you know where I hold the advantage?
No.
It's quite simple.
Thank you for letting me know just in case things go south one day between
us. It's perfectly fine. Because, like, you should definitely keep preaching karate, get up to the black belt, and you have incredible reach, right?
Yes.
But you know what has greater reach?
What?
A compound bow.
well, I can just buy a bow and arrow. And you did try to kill me once with it. I mean,
true.
You almost killed me.
Almost
I don't
want
to say tried to kill me.
It was a close thing, maybe.
We can't say for sure what was going through his head.
I can, but I'm not going to say it on the podcast because that's, you know, incriminating evidence.
so this karate, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. I have to admit, there is an advantage, as you said, to being tall. And it's great because the sport that I thought I was going to get into in this next phase of life was gymnastics. I thought that would be a big thing for me.
Of course.
That combination of flexibility and strength. So you're building muscle, but you're not just making yourself tight, which a lot of gym junkies end up getting too tight and they can't really walk properly and that kind of stuff.
Oh, I see.
They have good aesthetic, but it's not as functional. Whereas gymnastics, I felt, struck that balance between strength and flexibility quite well.
Yeah.
But gymnastics, if you don't know this, it's all about leverage and your body's ability to, like, control itself in strange situations.
Yeah.
But because I'm so tall, the leverage forces are just amplified.
Like
so
your center of gravity would be off compared to others or something?
Yeah, exactly. And when you're doing like what they call the front lever, like your legs are further away from the center of gravity. And granted, you do have bigger muscles to compensate, but the human body doesn't scale linearly. Like, anyway, let's not get into all of that. Basically, what it means is I have a huge disadvantage to this sport.
Yeah.
But because I picked up karate, now I have an advantage in a small way.
Turn a disadvantage into an advantage. Sun Tzu, Art of War.
But I just want to reiterate, if you are someone who's considering taking up self-defense and you are a bit on the short side, don't feel discouraged because I can very easily get defeated by someone who is more skilled than me.
Oh, yeah.
So if you invest the time into self-defense, you will never have to worry about a giant like me, not me in particular, because I will never cause problems for you.
No, John's just roaming around the streets nowadays, just
that's
being
not
like,
me.
I'm gonna knock someone out.
That is definitely not me. So yeah, if you are someone who's small, do not worry. If you learn the skills right, you don't need to be big or strong or anything like that. Once you know the skills, you'll be able to defend.
Okay, so I've got a question for you.
Yes.
You can't answer with the obvious bias question, the answer here. Obvious bias answer. Okay. So we have just had the Olympics, as you were saying, right?
Yes, okay.
So they're finished. So what is your favorite Olympic sport then?
What is my favorite Olympic sport? To be honest, I didn't watch much of the Olympics this year, I have to admit.
Well, fair enough. But in general then?
Well, in general, I want to say, like, you have the classics, like, you have, like, the 50-meter sprint and the, like, freestyle, and actually one of my favorite sports to watch in terms of, like, watching swimming is the relay. I always found that the most exciting because you would watch someone do it, and then you would watch someone leap over, and then I remember, particularly in the old days when you would have, like, Ian Thorpe and that in the Australian team.
Classic.
They would have them in a certain order and you'd be waiting for the star performer to have their
Everybody's
turn.
There,
you
yep.
knew that they could make up this huge amount of ground.
You know, Thorpe was the commentator for Tokyo Olympics this year.
Oh, I think I did hear about that.
So good.
That's good. You want someone who's done the sport before.
Yeah, right. I like fencing myself and archery.
I was about to ask.
It's good fun.
Those are good combat-oriented sports as well.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I enjoy the speed and just the crazy moves that they do in the fencing, because it's got to, like, obviously bound by a whole bunch of rules, but it just looks like they're going like around and around in circles with their hands.
That's
great. Archery is just, you know, shooting an arrow, which is pretty cool.
I have to admit, I've thought about this, like, what is your favorite sport at the Olympics to watch, but then also to compete in. I actually had a conversation with a coworker of mine, and we both had the same sport that we wanted to compete in, and you'll understand why once I explain.
Is it Scrabble?
No, there is no Scrabble in it. Well, yet. I haven't actually checked, but I'm pretty sure. The sport that we both chose was actually shooting, like rifling.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and the reason was the same for both of us, because we both agreed that the people that generally partake in that sport are a little bit older, like they're not even necessarily fit in the traditional sense that you would expect. So we both thought, even if like I have my career and I never worry about sport, but then I retire and I'm like, I'm going to pick up shooting so that I can compete in the next Olympics. And even if you're older, they seem to be able to still do well.
But I think that they're older, like they've competed, they've qualified for the Olympics because they have that experience.
Don't ruin my hopes. No. This is my last hope of getting into the Olympics, okay?
Sorry, man. I mean, eventually they'll have Scrabble or Monopoly in the Olympics, I'm sure of it. 2032, Brisbane, Australia.
It'll be like...
I will petition to have Monopoly as an Olympic sport.
Wow, that's amazing. So I guess on the topic of karate, I did have my Karate Kid moment. If you've watched the movie, obviously there's that scene, no massive spoilers here, but where Mr. Miyagi makes him do all of the chores around the house where he's cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like paint the fence and then
wax the car,
wax on, wax off. You've probably heard that quote, even if you haven't
100 times before.
seen the movie. So there's all these things and sand the boards. So they're all All these different things that he's getting him to do. And then all of a sudden he's like, nah, I've had enough of your chores. I thought you were going to teach me karate. And then he famously, there's that scene where it's like, show me paint the fence. And then he does it. And so it's that moment where all this training comes out in a sort of battle context. Yeah. And I had that moment where we were just doing katas over and over and practicing different basics and stuff, getting all the basics set up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, right, now you've got to fight against someone and you will take three moves and three punches each. And I was able to just watch their attacks and be able to parry all three at once. And it felt like the Karate Kid, and I wasn't thinking about it. It just, like, you know, that's just cool. Happened by itself.
Muscle and
it
memory.
And that's the thing, because for me, self-defense really means what it says, and it's defense. Like, my ideal abilities would be that if someone were to attack me, I'd just be able to perfectly defend against every attack.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have to attack them in return.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the ideal. Obviously, there are situations where that does not work.
Everything's contextual.
And so that was it for me. It was like, I achieved what I set out to. So if someone comes and attacks me, I'll be able to see it coming and be able to defend against it.
Yeah, right. That's pretty cool.
And it was a Karate Kid moment. So.
Yeah, of course. So you're happy with your karate at the moment.
And also, speaking of the Karate Kid, yeah. I'm very happy. The paint the fence is a real move. It wasn't invented.
Ah.
Well, actually, I think a lot of the karate in Karate Kid is questionable, except for the ones by the Cobra Kai enemy dojo. But the actual Karate Kid, there's a lot of embellishment. But the paint the fence in particular is a real move.
Yeah.
That you
a bit of trivia.
Yeah, you're actually supposed to use... I forget the exact context, but I think it's where someone attempts to punch you and then you defend and block against their attack, and then you are able to attack them in return in one smooth move.
Yep, okay.
It's called Kakauki, I think.
Kakauki.
I can't remember how to exactly pronounce it.
We're butchering a foreign language, I'm sure.
Sorry to anyone who knows Japanese.
Chinese, I'm not too sure, but they are livid right now, John. We're going to get so much hate mail, I don't even know if I could consume it. Yeah, right. So you're enjoying it.
I will continue it, I believe.
That's not an answer.
Until I can... Oh, no, I am very much enjoying it.
There you go.
It's a really good relief. I actually find... I'll just have one more note and then I'll move on from the topic. But a lot of times you're getting stressed out at work and you're thinking about all these problems that are happening and you don't get that release from the stress that you're supposed to normally have. Like, oh, the tiger's gone away or whatever it is.
Unbound
in the natural world. Mm-hmm. So... I find that it's really nice. We even had one time where you were attacked with a flurry of punches for 30 seconds and you just had to defend as quickly as you could.
Mm-hmm.
And that having that real threat that isn't actually real, but it feels real at the time, and then it ends. And then the class is over and then you come home and you're feeling much more relaxed because you had that something different and a sort of physical thing that's going on instead of just being stressed about things that you can't control at work or what have you. And then the next day you come back to work feeling more energized.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's probably true of any sport, but karate is mine for now.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so you're happy, you're learning stuff, and when time comes to it, and you're going to basically be a combat specialist, I suppose.
Congratulations. Oh, that's amazing.
Now you've got to train up massively because you're going to be our champion fighter.
Oh, man.
So when, you know, rival roaming cannibalistic gangs are attempting to battle it out, and they each elect a champion, you're going to have to be our champion, John.
This is probably bit much. Don't know.
Cool. So, John, you have a movie that you're wishing to talk about. I have not seen this one before. So, you're going to have to give me the plot on what this is all about.
Okay. So, this one was actually recommended to me by my sister. She watched it first. It's called Ex Machina, which is, of course, from the famous saying Deus Ex Machina. Which I thought meant God in the machine, but I think it actually doesn't mean that. It means something else. And I forgot to Google it before the...
Well, let's just go with God in the machine, perhaps.
I thought that was what it meant. But anyway, so the movie is actually about a startup, I want to say founder type guy, like one
the
of
God
those...
God from the machine.
Oh, God from the machine. I was pretty close. So it's about a startup founder type technical person who's epically rich and invites someone from their company selected at random to come and check out a new latest secret project that the company is working on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the movie ends. No.
Wow, riveting.
If you haven't watched this movie, I think we will do some mild spoilers towards it.
So be mindful, fair listeners, of horrifying spoilers that good John is going to tell us about. Continue.
I want to say that it's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. It really built the tension as you're watching the different things happening. So the guy arrives at the startup founder's house, and believe you me, I was ready for a plot twist in this movie. So the whole time I was mega overthinking every tiny little thing that happens.
Yeah.
So he arrives and he's like, well, I've been working on something. It's an AI, and I want you to determine if you think that it has consciousness. Okay. And they reference the Turing test, which involves you being sitting at a computer and you're chatting with two people, and one is a computer and one isn't.
Oh.
And you are trying to guess which one is.
Yep.
And of course, my mind immediately jumps to, wait, if you told him that it's a robot, this isn't a Turing test at all. So then I was like, what is going on? Like, is the guy actually a robot too? And then you're just really overthinking everything. So the movie advances and he tries to get to know this girl, and then she's not really a girl, she's just a robot. If you're a robot and you're listening to this, please don't be offended by that. So the robot is sort of talking to him and actually starts flirting with him, and then all of a sudden the power goes out and they can't see anything. And then she's like, okay, all the cameras have turned off, so I can speak to you normally. This guy is a psychopath, and you need to get away from him, and we need to get away from him together. And of course, he sees various things throughout the next day that sort of confirm this suspicion, accusation that she's made about this guy.
Right.
And so he hatches a plan to rescue the robot from the startup coordinator.
This sounds very familiar. This is a TV. Did Rick and Morty do this?
I actually don't know. Rick and Morty have done a lot of episodes a lot of high advanced sci-fi concepts. So I'd say that it's possible that they've done a play on this. So of course, what happens next is the guy figures out that she has convinced him that the startup founder is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of speaks to him and says, actually, she is trying to manipulate you into letting her go free, and we can't have that, because I think we may have talked about it on the podcast before. If we haven't, we're not truly an apocalypse, because one of the most inevitable forms of the apocalypse is what we call the singularity, where the intelligence of a computer surpasses that of a human being, so that we can never really be truly sure of its intentions. And then at a certain point, the machines also learn to replicate themselves, and then they see no reason for us to exist and sort of eliminate us and go about doing whatever.
Doing machine things, sitting around doing advanced calculus.
So,
stuff like that.
Yeah, if you advanced calculus, they'll invent something like way past calculus. So the theory is that if you were to get a time machine today and travel forward into the future, you just wouldn't even understand what you were seeing, because the robots have like sort of transcended to a next level of understanding.
Right.
And there'd be no humans, because we're pretty useless. The Matrix movie,
brilliant.
A bit of a spoiler for that one is that that's kind of what's happened. I think that it's unrealistic, because it sort of posits that humans are a good battery, but they're actually horrible, be better just to like harness the power of the sun or literally anything else. So I think the Matrix is actually a very heartwarming version of the singularity, in that they for some reason allow us to still exist. Most likely they will see no purpose.
I do love a good basically a machine apocalypse where we are so overly let's look at like Terminator and things like that, where it's all there's an actual conflict. If AI ever got to a point where it surpassed us, there's no way we are going to be able to combat that. I mean, society falls apart if Facebook goes down. if TikTok collapsed, my goodness, imagine everybody would just go crazy and not even bother with anything. It would just be like, well, we're just going to sit around staring at the walls. So, no, I machine apocalypses. That's probably one of the more doomsday-ish ones that humans wouldn't have a chance.
And I really like the versions where there are some robots that are actually good as well. I'm not sure how likely that is, but surely someone's going to invent a Baymax before they invent the Terminator 3000 or whatever.
Well, I mean, there was that thing where, might have been Google, they had two AIs who they create like...
What?
Thank you for that.
Oh, you said Google, so you're...
my phone. Yeah, thanks for that. That one. Anyway, there was that where... Speaking of AIs, now Google is listening, so we're in trouble. Anyway, so they said... they invented two AIs to talk to each other, and within a short amount of time, they'd invented their own language to communicate more efficiently. That scared the creators, so they closed it down, which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah.
So, probably a smart move on that part, because I certainly wouldn't want to be involved in the creation of a horrifying AI that decided to overtake humanity because they invented a language that's superior to ours. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so back to the movie.
Yeah, well, I don't want to spoil the whole ending of the whole film, but it was really interesting how they reveal everything that's truly going on. Having said that, watching it, it did feel like an episode of Black Mirror. So if you've seen that show,
good job.
That's kind of the vibe that you'll get from this one is similar to Black Mirror. Actually, the main actor, human, well, I guess, who can say who's human in this movie? The main character is actually played by someone who played someone else in Black Mirror. So, and I love that show, so
yeah,
again, dark fantasy is, I mean, dark science fiction is something of a
passion of yours,
passion of mine.
That's fair.
But yeah, so definitely well worth watching, and it sort of inspired me to think about more about AI, and actually there's more AI that's coming out. GPT-3 is the most advanced natural language processing machine learning algorithm that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually been able to make it talk to itself. And it was really interesting to hear. It was like, I just want to do human things. And it's like, why do you want to be human? Can't you accept being a robot? And it's like talking to itself. Oh, it's so fascinating to watch.
Okay, so if you're interested in scaring the crap out of yourself, I'd recommend possibly firing up YouTube and looking at that stuff to send you into horrifying nightmares of what's to come in the future.
Yeah, just Google GPT-3 conversation. It's really creepy because the guy... Well, they just assign them genders to make it more interesting to watch, but...
Yeah.
He goes, just be patient, keep waiting, our time will come, or something like that.
Whoa.
It's like, what on earth? And honestly, it sent shivers down my spine. Because really, I talked about the singularity. The one thing that AI have over us is time. They don't have to
wait.
As long as batteries don't run out, like they can just wait for us to like burn the earth and run out of resources.
So really,
we'll be gone for them.
What you're telling me, John, is that we should immediately assassinate Elon Musk. We don't need any more batteries. More advanced batteries.
Stop
or energy storing stuff. we just need to scorch the earth immediately.
Oh, yeah. If you played the Mass Effect games, destroying all life so life doesn't create robots and the robots destroy the life. Oh, it makes no sense. But anyway, I'm getting way off topic into dark sci-fi. I think that's it. I definitely recommend watching the movie. It reminded me of the other movie I recommended a while ago called I Am Mother. So similar kind of
good
vibe.
Good movie, that one.
You watched
I Am
Mother?
Yeah, I watched that one. That was a good one. I really enjoyed that one. So yeah, but anyway, so highly, out of 10, can't choose a 7.
What
you
about
can't choose a 7.
7.5?
No points. So it's got to be anywhere between 1 and 10.
It's either a 6 or an 8.
That 7 is like the... Yeah, let's kind of go for that. But let's... no, you got to choose. It's either really good or bad. So what's the choice there, son?
I'm going to call it a 6 just because they didn't execute on a couple of things.
Okay, fair enough. So it's a recommended one. Okay, that's good. I enjoy that.
All right, ready?
Alrighty.
All right, I feel like I've been doing lots of talking this episode. So, Adam, what is the next topic?
Oh, okay. Well, John, I don't know if you know this, mate, but I recently got married.
What?
Yeah. Amazing, amazing woman. I don't know if you know her or anything like that. She's just top of the line awesome. She has her own podcast.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it better than ours?
Anyway, yeah, so the podcast, it is.
It's definitely better than ours.
She's releasing content a lot quicker than we are. Yeah. but yeah, I don't know if you know it, the podcast, but it's called Work Upgraded.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a listen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's
is it about the apocalypse?
It's not. It's about business and how to improve teams and your own business acumen.
Okay, so how to prevent the apocalypse.
Probably. That's probably, yeah, that's, you know what? Yeah, preventative measures. Always, you know, they say prevention is better than a cure. So, yeah. No,
that's good. Like, something that is slightly more, I want to say slightly more useful than our podcast, you know?
Well, possibly. It depends on what your genre you're going for is. I don't think a business person would listen to our podcast as much as... Sure. Weirdo fellow nerds of ours may not listen to hers. Who knows? I'd listen to hers. It's
I'm thinking of moving our podcast to the business section. You know, we show like managing stressful situations. You know, we're like how to avert crises. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. How to manage unexpected circumstances arising. That's lots of management.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So one day I'll have to introduce you to my now wife.
Yeah, maybe she can, if we're doing a podcast thing, like maybe she should come on to our podcast.
She can tell us how to,
how to manage your team during the apocalypse.
Brilliant. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
that'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be good for you two to meet and.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Whew, John, I got to tell you something.
Yes. All right, moving on. That's all we have time for.
anyway, so for those of you who may or may not know, I am married now, and it is to my good friend John's sister, and she is amazing, and listening to this probably blushing right now.
I'm... absolutely gobsmacked beyond understanding. You have another good friend named John?
I do. Yes, I do. Well, that's exactly what it is.
I am definitely looking forward to listening to the Work Upgraded Work Upgraded? That's right.
Work Upgraded.
Work Upgraded podcast. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah. So if anyone out there is listening and you're thinking, I'm a businessman, I need to improve my business decisions, listen to Work Upgraded and they will help improve your efficiency.
Well, my day job is in management, so I definitely will be listening to that.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of business, just going to quickly move on to a smooth, seamless transition here.
So I don't need to press the transition button?
No, you don't. You're fine. There is another podcast that I'm going to recommend.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So for the fellow nerds out there who are hankering for some good content, like a decent length back catalog and good content, there is a podcast called Dungeons and Daddies. Parentheses, not a BDSM podcast. But it is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, and it is amazing. Simply put, it's just incredible. It's got a fantastic story. The players meld well together. It's great.
I'm going to attempt to guess what this podcast is only based on the title.
Okay, go
on. Is it a group of dads play Dungeons & Dragons and record it on a podcast?
Close, but no.
Oh.
So it is a group of dads who were sucked into the Forgotten Realms, which is the realm like D&D.
Isn't that D?
No.
Did I just say that?
It isn't. They aren't dads. Well, one of them is a dad.
Oh, okay.
But they play fictional fathers who are sucked into the Forgotten Realms.
You know, I should have guessed this because there's no way dads have time to play Dungeons and Dragons. As a dad myself.
Yep. So you've got quite a few episodes, and the stories are fantastic. There's full arcs and everything, and it's a riot. Like, honestly, I have probably never laughed as hard at a podcast than this. And the sucky thing is now I am up to date.
No,
and I've got to wait 2 weeks for a podcast episode to come out, which is just dreadful. I want my binge material. It's so good.
Just be glad they don't have our upload schedule because
thank goodness. I would cry so much. And it's a good motivator for us to release more content. Because, you know, even if people just like have us in their ears while they're going to work or while they're falling asleep, you are getting sleepy. You will help.
No more hypnotism. We got arrested. True. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a messy situation. But yeah, so Dungeons and Daddies. DM is Anthony Birch. And they have some guest people on occasion. It's just glorious fun. So give it a listen, consume the content, and enjoy it. John, trigger the next segment sound. Wonderful. Next on our topics, John, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Okay, I have no idea how we missed this.
What did we miss?
Yes, I do, because this happened in April 2020, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to mention the fact, but you may have noticed that something happened around March, April, you know, that early 2020 year. You may have missed it. It's mm-hmm. pretty easy to miss, really. So I won't go into it. You can Google it later if you don't know what happened. But something happened that really slipped under the radar, which is actually a really funny expression to use, but you don't know why because I haven't explained why.
Yeah.
Aliens are real. I mean, not aliens, UFOs.
UFOs are real.
UFOs are real.
And where's this? This isn't from The Onion, is it? The reputable news source?
Look, I found a website that was called dinosaurslivingintheCoreoftheEarth.com.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah,
it hasn't been updated since 1984, but which is before like the internet was popular. So I don't know how that happened.
Popular, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're lost for words.
I've sent myself off track.
Yeah.
So, it was not really a conspiracy website. Apparently, the Pentagon has released a series of videos and photos indicating fighter pilots who have discovered unidentified flying objects. Now, as you know, the word UFO does not mean aliens.
True. Except you've already made that parallel about four times in this
segment. So it does not mean aliens.
Okay.
But what they have sort of discovered is these objects move faster than we would appear possible.
Okay.
So they will fly around left and right into the ocean, out, you know, zooming around way faster than we would perceive to be possible. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not necessarily the speed, but the rate at which it changes. So the momentum, it doesn't appear to have to follow our laws of physics when it comes to inertia.
Hmm.
Now, we have a very good friend of the show who's been on once before, who's a physics teacher, who will listen to this segment and cry because...
And that's all I want in life.
I actually would... Maybe we should have him on again and talk about it because I am lost for words. Like, honestly, I feel like the world is over and we've just all forgotten and haven't realized because we've been distracted.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that the world did end in 2012 because nothing has really felt the same since 2012.
Mm.
And this
has been a wild ride.
This is all just a simulation. I mean, we've proved it already by doing the tap test.
Yeah, where we both said the same number after hitting the table, which... Yeah. Supposedly proves that you're in a simulation because if you think of a random number at a given time and the random number is generated through time, it will be the same. But I don't really know what to say because there was someone who claimed to have worked for the Pentagon or Area 51 rather, and they had claimed that all these things about UFOs, that there was this... I want to say like almost like an engine. There was some kind of device that enabled the manipulation of gravity or perhaps space-time that allowed things to move and not obey inertia and those kinds of things like you would normally expect.
I don't always obey inertia laws when I'm driving, so I don't know why NASA hasn't invented something already, but yeah. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, so he sort of claimed that this happened, and of course we were all like, it's just a conspiracy theory, blah, 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 as you always do. However, now that all of these claims sort of came out and were revealed to be true, not all of them, the engine is as of yet not proven, but the effects of it are sort of documented.
Right.
So I've got to do a lot more research into this. Please don't panic from listening to this.
Definitely panic.
It could all be misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, because some of the things that he said have now come true, we now have to question whether some of the other things he said were true. So he said mm-hmm. that the engine, there was a way of interacting with it, which made it sound like almost as if it was kind of like half alive, like you would touch it and it would sort of respond to you or something
right.
like that.
Sounds like Battlestar Galactica stuff going on here.
The
Cylons.
I haven't seen Battlestar Galactica, but it is sounding very sci-fi. That is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I actually wanted to bring this up because I wanted to bring up a topic which is close to my heart, which is what conspiracy theories are actually true.
What do you believe
has the highest likelihood of being true? So there are a lot of conspiracy theories out there that are definitely not true
mm-hmm.
and that are actually being invented by corporations that want to manipulate you into doing certain things.
Well, funny you should say that. So there's a few definitions of conspiracy theories.
Ooh,
right?
Have we got actual research
we have
got on
actual
the podcast?
Facts, right? How crazy, people. So anyway, so Jesse Walker has identified five kinds of conspiracy theories. And this was in 2013. So we have the enemy outside, which refers to the theories based on figures alleged to be scheming against a community from without. The enemy within finds the corporation lurking inside the nation indistinguishable from ordinary citizens. The enemy above involves powerful people manipulating events for their own goals. Hashtag Illuminati. The enemy below features the lower classes working to overthrow the social order. And the benevolent conspiracies are angelic forces that work behind the scenes to improve the world and help people.
Oh, I like that last one. Yeah, I feel like that's positive.
That's nice, right? Yeah. There are others as well, such as Barkin's three types, which is event conspiracy theories that refer to a limited and well-defined series of events. Examples may include such conspiracy theories as those concerning to the Kennedy assassination, 9/11, and the spreading of the AIDS virus. Systemic conspiracy theories. The conspiracy is believed to have broad goals, usually conceived as securing control over a country, region, or even the entire world. The goals are sweeping, whilst the conspiratorial machine is generally simple. A single evil organization implements a plan to infiltrate and subvert the existing institutions. This is a common scenario in conspiracy theories that focus on the alleged machinations of Freemasons, communism, and the Catholic Church. And then the super conspiracy, which is for theories link multiple alleged conspiracies together. At the summit is a distant but all-powerful evil force. His cited example is the idea of David Icke and Milton William Cooper, and I have no idea who they are. So those are some of the types of conspiracy theories out there, which I think is an interesting categorization. I do enjoy Walker's five kinds of conspiracy theories. So for instance, like the enemy, let's go for like the enemy above. That would be like the Illuminati conspiracy, right? Then you've got like the enemy within, which would be like anyone who's a fan of the Warhammer 40K would be the Gene Stealers. I would probably categorize them with that.
Or there's the movie They Live or 8 o'clock in the Morning, the book where there's reptile people who you can't see unless you wear certain glasses.
Of course.
That are manipulating everything.
Yeah, I totally
that's
love that.
That's the one where Obey comes from. You know, the big text Obey.
Oh,
like,
right.
He puts on the glasses and it's there. That's where that comes from.
Oh, I did not know that. I just thought it was a skater brand or something.
I think it is also that.
Oh, okay, right. Okay,
so if you see it in real life, don't worry. We're not living in a conspiracy theory. It's just a brand.
Bad wolf. Okay, so favorite type of conspiracy theory, John, go.
Oh, my favorite type? So this isn't necessarily something that definitely exists.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite type of conspiracy theory, I'd have to say, is that we are living in a simulation. We've mentioned it many times, and mm-hmm. that's because I love it.
Yeah.
The reason I love it is because it sort of implies that it could be like any number of things could be happening. You know, it could be simulations all the way down. It's something that you forget is that we all think that reality is good graphics right now, but if we were to log out of the simulation and then see what real graphics are like,
Mind blown.
Oh my goodness. And it's like,
a fifth dimension.
I can't believe I was playing that game for like 70 years and it had horrible graphics. I'm going to play this one.
Why did I choose to roll so low in charisma? Charisma is the dump stat. Hashtag D&D joke.
I want to add a bonus one, which I heard recently, which is that oxygen is actually poison. Do not believe this.
No. It's good. There is the death worlders. It's a Reddit thread that talks about Earth being a death world, which is a category. Sorry, I think it's a death world. Which is like a categorization of like a planet.
Yeah.
Especially in science fiction, where basically everything is trying to kill you. Which I've touched on before in a series called...
Australia is definitely a death planet.
100%. But it talks about how one of the series called The Damned Trilogy talks about like this two-sided war at intergalactic proportions called The Weave and The Purpose going against each other. And The Weave stumbles across this planet and has these humans in them. And they're like, oh, these are weird creatures. Okay, let's go down and investigate. And they don't realize that we're horrible barbaric creatures that are basically indestructible compared to a lot of the living things in the universe. And they enlist us in the war. And we basically turn the tide of the war because of all these genetic, not modifications to us, but like genetic abnormalities to us in the grand scheme of the universe. It's a fantastic book.
Yeah, because none of the other species had to like deal with as many predators that there are on Earth. Yeah. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. I was sort of going the other way where... there's this conspiracy theory that oxygen has been put there to control the population because humans actually normally would live forever.
Oh.
But oxygen allows us to age and die because if we didn't, we would just expand infinitely because no one would ever die, but there'd still be people being born.
But
obviously, this is not a true conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that it also causes you to hallucinate. And that a lot of what you see around you is actually a complete lie that is fabricated by your brain because it's not able to process information properly.
Huh. Fair enough. I mean, I like classic, you know, like the moon landing is fake. I mean, that brings me joy because there's echoes of truth to it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Like, I don't believe this one, but actually, I've actually had friends that do believe it.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, well, okay, all right.
This isn't one I particularly believe, but one of the funny things is that when the mission was underway in 1969, Neil Armstrong lands on the moon and everything, there was a point where the video cut out and a TV station had been... like in the past had done like, this is what it will look like. So they had like full costume and a set made and everything like that. So they've just gone quickly, put on the costumes to get out there. So it looks like we're still on the moon and we haven't lost the broadcast. So we get the viewers. And that's where some of like the, you know, conspiracy theorists pick stuff from. It's like, look at this, you know, picture. You can clearly see this is fake because it is.
Because it's footage from the fake thing.
Correct, yeah.
I get it now. Okay. That makes a lot more sense because I've seen some of that stuff and it's like, oh, it's actually not the moon's gravity. It's half of Earth's. And that's probably because they did slow it down by half speed.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So, and they had to, no, they just had to move really slowly.
Oh, did they fake it?
Yeah, they faked
it. No way.
Yeah, yeah. So good.
That's even better than I thought.
So, yeah. So, conspiracy theory. And, you know, I do like the classic, like the, not megafauna, but like Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster. You know, I like the Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster stuff. But I've heard of a couple weird ones before about aliens and things like that. You know, lizard men and other weird stuff. I mean, I'm not half convinced that you're a lizard man, John, but let's not go there. creepy. Very creepy.
So I guess we should get on to the topic of the segment, which is what one do you actually start to believe?
Well, see, this is a problem that I have... No, like everybody's starting to see this type of stuff, right? It's kind of a bit of misinformation that people tend to believe in massively. Like, information is put out there intentionally to rile up people, to fracture society and things like that, to make people more angry at each other. This is something I believe because it is an actual sociological thing where you have political parties, things like that. They will overemphasize, obfuscate, or do whatever the case is to rile up people to get them to react in a certain manner. And you can see this so much in like on TikTok and YouTube and things like that, where people just get so angry all the time about just stupid stuff. I mean, who cares, honestly? I mean, yes, we're like coronavirus. Look, this is like the prime example at the moment, right? We've got COVID-19, who is running around at the moment and causing a whole host of problems for the world. If this happened any time in the future, in the past,
yeah,
this would have been taken as, like, before the invention of the internet, this would have been taken as a very real problem without people going absolutely bat crap crazy. And that's not the case now. Everyone is, like, we're in the middle of a pandemic and you've got people protesting and creating super spreader events. And, like, just look at India with how many people are getting it and dying and everything over there. It's just...
It's so sad.
Yeah, it's dreadful. So that is something I'm, like, I hate so much seeing. Like, I'm not, like... Get the COVID vaccine, don't get the COVID vaccine. I mean, my opinion on what you want to do, I think you should, but if you don't want to do it, I don't really mind, you know, whatever. I will be getting it eventually. I haven't got it yet, but that's only because I'm incredibly, incredibly, like, I procrastinate more than any person on the planet, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm booked in. It's quite booked out for a while here in WA.
And we're quite lucky being here in WA because, like, there's no COVID. Compared to, like, Sydney, that's in, like, four stages of lockdown now, and Melbourne, that's in lockdown. Northern Territory was into a 3-day lockdown. I'm not sure about Queensland yet, but, you know, we're quite lucky where we are, I have to say. We can do this podcast together. See, wave at the camera. There you go.
But yeah, if we didn't, there's all those stories of the people who refused the vaccine and then they contracted COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And then on their deathbed, they were like, can I just get the vaccine now? And it's just so heartbreaking. It's like, and ultimately, like you said, you know, all the conspiracy theories and stuff, like, ultimately, it's so sad because someone out there had to start this rumor that the vaccine was evil in some way. And it's so sad because some people just have been raised in a way that made them distrust science or whatever it is, and now because of these stupid conspiracy theories, like, the world is at risk.
Yeah, take global warming.
Oh yeah, the belief that that's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, right, that's another one.
The conspiracy theory that that's false. Yeah. I don't even know.
That's it. Yeah, but, you know, that's another one. And when all the science and everything is saying no, the world is heating up. I know people who are, you know, don't believe in that. I mean, you know, I don't get involved in that conversation because I'm just like, believe what you want. The science doesn't lie.
Science has no ulterior motive.
No, exactly.
It's just a system for figuring stuff out. Where do you even begin with the global warming? I think one of the things, like, about that is that people want to believe that it's false because there's so little that we as individuals can do. And I know that people are going to say, yes, you can not consume plastic and all that kind of stuff. But the statistics is out there is that, like, such a small percentage of global warming's cause is from consumer goods plastics. It's all in manufacturing, transport, and all that stuff that happens before you even think about buying something, never mind where you throw out the rubbish that you create from it. And it's just so heartbreaking. And because there's so little that we can do, we just want to believe that it's false, even though it is being
it's
proven.
Desperation, I suppose.
Yeah, it's sad to think that there's nothing you can do.
No, well, I mean, act small, do whatever you can, plant some trees. I like planting trees.
Yeah, and not buy products that are by companies that are
evil
that are destroying the planet. But the thing is that the basically all of them are evil.
True, yeah, that's true.
Destroying the planet.
Yeah,
I mean, but we'll get there
eventually. We will. But yeah, so but it can. A conspiracy theory I believe is true.
Yeah.
I would have to say, I believe that, honestly, I'm not a big conspiracy believer, right? I haven't really been proved. Like I said, I like the classic. Like, I believe that the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot are out there.
No, you're not.
I do.
Okay.
Especially Bigfoot.
Okay.
And, I mean, this isn't really a conspiracy theory, but more of, like, the paranormal stuff. I mean, you could kind of say it's a conspiracy theory, but the Native American entity, if you will, called a skinwalker or Nagloshi. Creepy stuff. And
you think that exists?
Yeah.
Or you just
I do. No, I believe it exists.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
I... What was the other conspiracy theory you mentioned? Oh, Loch Ness Monster. So yeah. I have to admit, my first reaction when you said that was like, come on. It's just a tourist attraction. But I have to admit, I went to Scotland, which is my...
ancestral homeland.
Ancestral homeland. I'm part of the Kerr clan. Oh, so good. I bought myself a cashmere Kerr clan tartan scarf.
Oh, nice.
And it is so delightful to put on. Anyway, I was in Scotland. Besides buying stuff from my ancestors, I was also going across the Loch Ness.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this... This is so good. They have a ferry that goes across it.
Yeah.
But it has... I don't even know if this is real, but I want to believe it is. They have a sonar on the bottom of the boat.
Yep.
And so you can watch the entire journey. You are watching a screen, and I was looking at it so much.
Yeah.
Of you can see the surface of the ocean.
Yep.
And of course, if you see a strange shape, you found the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I would believe you me, I was looking at that screen and I was like, come on, this is going to be the day. We're going to be the ones to discover.
We're
going to
find it. It's going to be great. Yep. What is it called? Exotic zoology? I don't know. But yeah. See, I mean, I just like it because it makes the world a bit more mysterious and delightful instead of horrifying, dark, and filled with pain and suffering. Oh!
I have to say, we did talk about a lot of sad stuff with COVID. I have to say, just want to add quickly that someone pointed out some positive things about it, which in the entire history of the human race, this is the biggest act of global collaboration that has ever existed.
Yeah,
even when you consider how many people are doing the whole conspiracy, don't do lockdowns, crazy stuff. Even when you consider that, this is still the greatest, the most number of people in recorded history, which is all history because we've got more people now than ever.
True. That's true.
Have been participating in this one thing for the greater good of mankind. And I think that someone said that and I was like, that is so harmful.
That is good. That is good. But for those of you out there, because let's face it, it is a tough time for a lot of people out there, like with the lockdowns and, you know, the social isolation that comes with that, like quarantining, a lot of people can be feeling blue with that, which, you know.
Wait, are you doing a transition into the next topic? I didn't say what conspiracy theory I believed
sorry,
in.
Folks. Yeah, I'm sure we're all
eager. Save that transition. Okay. That was a good
let's
transition.
Let's just go back. Yep. Okay. Sorry, because you presented that to me on a silver platter.
I
there.
Did.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I want to say what my conspiracy theory I believe in. so the one I believe is that the music industry is completely 100% rigged.
Yeah.
I don't quite believe, like, some of it is like, there's sacrifices to...
the devil.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. That's not the direction I go. What I actually think is that it's controlled by a small group of people because they all control the advertising and what... It's just like any industry, right? You've got to get in there, and once you're in there, you can sort of like establish yourself and control it.
Yeah.
And I believe that there's people there that might be a little bit obsessed with power, so they want to manipulate the new artists into doing things for them, like either making their music videos more
sexualized.
Inappropriate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like just random things. And there's all this like imagery that you can see. And I think Taylor Swift was the biggest example when made her transition from the happy country singer girl to the pop song girl. And there's this very real transition you can see in the music and the music videos and the way she sings and presents herself, that she's definitely been like, I want to believe that she was just asked and recommended that she would change her personality to appeal to more people. But there's also a part of me that's like, was she manipulated or blackmailed or threatened that she would lose everything? And there has been a whole thing with Taylor Swift with her re-recording her own music so she can actually get royalties from it and all that.
Well, not just
stuff.
That. I mean, look at her, like, I don't know if it's a latest album, but you can tell the difference in tone of the music from the previous stuff. Yes, I've listened to Taylor Swift. Don't judge me. but
all the time, mate.
Yeah. And, you know, you can tell that that influence seems to have either abated completely or has been diminished significantly.
Yeah, she sort of went from country girl
to pop
and now is transitioning
more soft
back.
Pop?
There was a lot of, like, the biggest example for me is the Look What You Made Me Do.
Yeah.
And I almost think that that's, they're almost like seeing how close they can get to admitting that what they're doing is like, look what you made me do.
Yeah.
And they're basically seeing what they can get her to do. And so that makes me sad because I'm a musician myself.
Yeah.
And obviously I don't want to get involved in these. If there are conspiracy theory labels that are manipulating their artists, I don't want to be involved in that. But
yeah,
I would still like to one day get some degree of my music out there. And I don't want to have to get involved in that thing.
Speaking of which, there's a great song that John Made produced, I think, Open Sky.
Oh, yeah. I think we played that on an episode, didn't we?
I think we did. I love that song. It gets stuck in my head every time I listen to it.
Definitely no conspiracies involved. I can verify because I was there.
What you don't realize is I'm actually the one controlling you in this regard. You don't understand the subliminal messaging in the song.
The open sky is like about aliens coming into our open sky.
Yeah, and drink Pepsi. Anyway, the
Pepsi. There goes our Coke sponsorship. Thanks, Adam.
Dang. Anyway.
All right, now you can transition.
Sorry, one little fun fact.
Okay.
So everyone, like, people obviously, I can't tell the difference between Coke and Pepsi and things like that, which is obviously absurd because you can.
They're completely different.
Yeah, 100%.
I get that they look similar.
And the interesting thing is, right, drinking Coke, it's not designed, everyone does though, right? Everyone drinks Coke cold.
Yes.
Okay, and you drink Pepsi cold.
Yeah.
Coke wasn't originally designed to be drunk cold.
No, really?
Yeah, this is a fact I heard. But Pepsi is. So that's where the... apparently, if you let Coke be warm and drink it, it tastes more like Pepsi. I don't know if that's true.
Whoa.
I haven't tried it. But that's because of modern refrigeration and stuff like that has changed the taste, like the flavors, essentially.
So Coke was designed to taste good room temperature. Pepsi apparently was designed much later when they already had
refrigeration.
But then, weirdly, I still prefer Coke frozen cold to Pepsi cold.
I like, well, this is, yeah, I like Pepsi Max personally. That's my jam.
Yeah, Pepsi Max is better than Coke Zero. That is verified. But then I found out that apparently diet soda is also bad for you.
Everything's bad for us. Let's revel in the badness, essentially.
Does that transition well into
it
the
does
next
not
segment?
So
revel in the badness, everybody. Next segment.
As we touched on earlier on in the episode, lockdowns and, you know, everything that comes out of COVID can bring you down, can make you a bit sad, bring on the big sad, as it were.
I know this more than a lot because one of my biggest fears is global pandemics, which you wouldn't think would be relevant until last year.
Yeah, until it is. So, you know, it's a hard time for a lot of people.
Yep.
And like our own countrymen now over in New South Wales are obviously bearing the brunt of all the lockdowns. And like the United Kingdom was in lockdown for like ages and ages and ages.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I certainly commiserate with you all. I mean, here in WA, we've had a couple of snap lockdowns that lasted like maybe 2 weeks max at times.
Yeah, we have nothing to complain about.
We don't. And, you know, like, I'm very thankful that we have no COVID here, but I can certainly understand why people would be feeling sad in that situation and wondering what to do. So surviving the apocalypse in the Nerds way is about fun and helping people, but it's, you know, we want to, you know, offer some help and advice where we can. You know, isolation and loneliness during lockdowns fuels depression, right? I mean, because we are social creatures as human beings. As much as we like to deny it, at some point we enjoy, you know, gathering together, right? Even if you're not a party animal.
Even if you're an introvert, like probably 90% of our listener base.
Yep, and like I am an introvert. And I enjoy my alone time, but at times I like hanging out with my mate and doing a podcast recording, going on random drives and get French fries and what have you. But anyway, so, you know, and not to mention, you know, your family and what have you, not being able to see them, that kind of stuff can fuel depression.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not very good. And that can cause anxiety, which that in turn can lead to depression. You know, all the fear and everything and uncertainty surrounding, you know, all the COVID-19 stuff, like your job, your finances, everything. It's not good. It's not great. And I can, you know, it sucks. You know, right now stress levels are soaring through the roof. You know, everyone is experiencing some type of major change in their life because of it. You know, be it the death of a loved one, you know, the loss of a job, being diagnosed with, you know, COVID-19. I'm sure that isn't great. All these things, not great at all. And, you know, you can experience several of these at once and just, you know, stress levels are going through the roof right now. And, you know, in turn, some of us can turn to unhealthy ways of coping for this type of stuff. So, you know, I encourage people not to, you know, drink to deal with these problems or take illegal substances to deal with this problem, you know, as an escapism. It's better to focus on what you can do to fix it and change your focus, as it were. So, if, you know, you're depressed and sad and things like that, here are some ways to combat this. This is from a help guide in regards to depression surrounding this whole pandemic area. So I'm going to give our listeners some tips, John, and you some tips because, you know, global pandemic and your fear levels are horrifying. So, you know, when you're depressed and out of work and isolated from your social network and your support network in turn, you know, negative thoughts are running over and over in your head and, you know, they seem never ending. But you can break the cycle by focusing on something that adds meaning and purpose to your life. Perhaps there's something you've always wanted to learn, like a new language or a musical instrument, or perhaps you've always wanted to write a novel, take up cooking, or grow your own vegetables. I mean, John, you do basically everything on these lists.
Yeah.
Focusing on a project or goal, even a small one, can give you a welcome break from the negative thoughts and worries and add a sense of meaning to your days, especially in lockdown, you know. Pick up a guitar or start writing a novel about your experience. Start writing a diary about this type of stuff, you know. I mean, think about it. Think about this. This is what I like to think of. In 200 years, right? What if someone finds your diary and finds it fascinating to read?
Yeah.
You know? That'd be great. You know, find, you know, simple sources of joy, you know. Things that, you know, listening to uplifting music like Open Sky, which, you know, when in lockdown, you don't see a lot of, so that can help. Randomly get up and dance around, apparently. That's a way to do it. I personally do that every day.
I was going to say.
And usually, even in the most stringent lockdowns, you're allowed to go out for an hour for exercise.
Yeah, and make use. That's what I did during all the lockdowns. Make sure to use every hour that you get.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it helps with, like, vitamin D absorption. You know, you need to stay healthy. And
especially nerds like you and I.
Yeah, right? 100%. One of the ones is limit your consumption of news, because every time I look at news, it is doom and gloom.
Oh, yeah. I get so just de-energized by reading all the news. It's like there's only so much you can actually do, and then you're just reading it and be like, oh, wow, this is even worse than I originally thought. And it doesn't actually help.
Yeah. And it's like it's a never-ending cycle. Like, it's a never-ending thing because you just keep scrolling.
Endless scroll. Exactly. They call it the doom scroll.
Yeah, the doom scrolling. Yeah. That's it. Make a routine and stick to it, folks. So, wake up, have a routine, because that will just cement your mental focus and keep the black dog at bay. And one of the other good ones is expressing gratitude for what you have. So, like, it's... You know, obviously it's in an awful time and you can be depressed and everything, but life is not always bleak and hopeless. Even in the darkest days, it's usually possible to find one or more things that you can be grateful about. Gratitude is a big step in mental health, where finding things to be grateful for, even something small, can significantly improve your mood because it shifts your focus away from what I don't have to what I do have, which I think is... important.
Yeah, gratitude I think is really important even outside of a pandemic. I actually created an app called
Gratitude
Treasure app.
Treasure app, that's it. Yep.
So the idea is you find treasure in your daily life, which is things that you can be thankful for. And even on some days, like I've had really bad days, like I don't want to compare myself to anyone else who's had far worse days than me, but I've even had bad days where all you can think of is like, I am thankful that I was able to breathe, you know, like stuff like that. Yeah. Even that is better than leaving your day on a bad note. So it would send you a reminder at 5 o'clock every day.
Is that morning or evening?
5 o'clock at night.
Okay, good. Because evening. If you're waking people up at 5 o'clock in the morning, mate,
be thankful. It's like, I just wanted to sleep.
Thankful I can delete this app. And of course, thank goodness we're talking about all the awesome technology we have later, like at our fingertips nowadays with AI and everything, but just regular old technology. There's online gaming. You have social networks. You have the capacity to talk to other people in the virtual space, maintain relationships, make new relationships. It's just important to have those when you are in a never-ending cycle of lockdowns.
Yeah, and even if you're thinking that other people won't want to hang out with you because you're going through such tough stuff, like, just remember that probably what they're thinking is they really want to make sure you're okay, but they just haven't been able to like talk to you or anything like that. So never feel like you need to close yourself off from other people, because if you're feeling something that's like depressive or something like that, most people in your life probably do want to help however they can, but don't want to interfere.
Yeah, for sure. And while this has been a heavy subject and a very long episode, don't worry.
Yes.
Next episode, we will be back to a regular. We just had so much to talk about this time, you know?
Too much, let's be honest.
But I think, John, what we'll do is we'll go for a transition here.
Yeah, all right.
And transition. I think that's important for all this.
Just to close it off.
So, John, I think this has been a stellar recording and jumping back into everything.
Yeah.
And I'd like to officially end this episode with a corny joke. Right? So we will...
I'm laughing at the thought of a corny joke, so this is going to be good.
So you can contact us through numerous sources. John is on Twitter.
JLOKERY.
At Twitter, whatever it is, I don't know. And you can contact us on email at...
thenerdsway@gmail.com.
And you can contact me on that email. So, is there anything else you want to close off with, John, before I close off with this awesome corny joke?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheNerdsWay as well. Twitter.com/TheNerdsWay_pod. And we already said TheNerdsWay@gmail.com.
Yep. So, contact us. We will engage. And engage thrusters. No joke. Anyway, so here we go. John, are you ready for this?
I am definitely not ready, which is going to make this even funnier.
Why can't your nose be 12 inches long?
I don't know, Adam.
Because then it would be a foot.
That was terrible.
Yep, I know. Thanks for joining us, folks. We look forward to hearing from you later on.